Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. We've come to that time of year when daylight lingers fairly late into the evening hours. During most of May, the sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. And after telling you to dress warmly these past few months, I've changed my tune. Yep, the season's first waves of insects have arrived, and it's time again to dig up the bug spray. You can also ward off most of these annoying critters by wearing lightweight, long-sleeved clothing. This May is unusual in that you have a chance to see all the bright planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, at some point during the night. Let's start with Mercury. To see this elusive, fleet-footed planet, you'll need a completely clear view of the western horizon, and you'll have to track it down during the first few days of May. Look low in the west about an hour after sundown, directly over where the sun set and about the width of your fist above the horizon. Mercury will gradually emerge from the twilight glow as a star low down. The next planet on our cosmic shopping list is Saturn, perched high in the south as darkness falls. Don't confuse Saturn with the star Regulus, which is to its right and not quite as bright. If you're listening to this early in the month, one way to ensure that you've really got Saturn in your sights is to use the Moon as a guide. It passes near Regulus on May 2nd and near Saturn on the 3rd. Speaking of the Moon, it's full on the night of May 8th. Now it's time for full disclosure. Yes, you can see all five of those planets I mentioned, but no, you can't see them all at once. And to glimpse Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, you'll have to get up before dawn. Roughly 4:30 a.m. ought to do it. Look low down in the east for a trio of stars along a line that stretches from the horizon toward upper right. Mars is the one lowest down, then comes very bright Venus, not far to its upper right, and finally Jupiter, somewhat farther away. That's it, a full house of planets, so to speak. The evening skies of May don't feature any slam-dunk constellations like Big Beefy Orion, which has sunk from view in the west. But there is one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make up a pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head off to the left. Many constellations and asterisms are chance alignments of stars that lie at different distances from Earth, but the Big Dipper breaks this rule. Five of its seven stars are equally far away, about 80 light-years from Earth. The two exceptions are at the end of the handle and on the lip of the bowl. What's more, these five stars are racing in formation across the sky at roughly 28,000 miles per hour. As a result, the Big Dipper's shape is very gradually changing. In 100,000 years or so, its bowl will flatten out and its handle will be bent sharply. I like to think of the Big Dipper as the Swiss Army knife of the sky because it helps me find so many other key springtime stars. For starters, find the two stars at the left end, forming one side of the bowl. Sky watchers call these the pointer stars, and here's why. Draw an imaginary line through the pointers and follow that line downward by the width of three fists. You'll come to a moderately bright star. That's Polaris, the North Star. You can use this little trick anytime you want. Just remember that those two stars point to Polaris. Are you surprised that the North Star isn't the brightest star in the sky? In fact, 45 other stars outshine Polaris. But brightness isn't the North Star's claim to fame. Instead, it lies very nearly at the point where a line extended out into space from Earth's North Pole would go. So as Earth spins throughout the night, Polaris hardly moves. Now, go back to the pointers in the Big Dipper. Follow that line you drew through them in the opposite direction, and four or five fists later you'll reach Regulus. So now you can point to Polaris and leap to Leo. But wait, there's more. Follow the curve formed by the Dipper's handle upward through overhead until you reach a very bright star about three fists away. That's Arcturus, the spring sky's brightest star. Can you detect its slightly ginger ale color? Now follow that same curved line past Arcturus until you come to a rather bright, icy white star in the southeastern sky. That star is named Spica. So, congratulations! You now know how to arc to Arcturus and spike to Spica. And did you know that you can even use the Big Dipper to tell time? It's actually really easy. To find out how, go to skyandtelescope.com and type star clock in the search box. That make-it-yourself star clock is just one of many features for beginning stargazers at S&T's website. Take advantage of these beautiful late spring nights, and the stars will look even better if you can get away from bright lights, say, to a suburban park or maybe even out in the country. Until next month, I wish you clear skies.